Hi everyone, my name is Amir Sadakpour. I'm with Nutrient Management Sphere Program, and the title of my talk today is Impact of Nitrogen versus Phosphorus-Based Manure and Compost Management on Corn Yield and Nitrous Oxide Emissions. According to US EPA, agriculture is responsible for 9% of greenhouse gas emissions. On a global warming potential basis, 44% of it comes from a nitrous oxide emission. And 75% of that 44% is related to soil management practices. So here we have this opportunity to impact greenhouse gas emissions. In dairy farming systems, manure and fertilizer management practices are important, critical, and can impact crop yield, soil quality, and greenhouse gas emissions. Manure application based on nitrogen needs of a corn crop without incorporation has some issues, such as odor, inefficient use of nitrogen, and over-application of phosphorus and potassium compared to the crop removal. That can contribute to elevated soil test P and K levels and results in phosphorus runoff and excess K forages. A potential alternative is to shift from N-based without incorporation to P removal-based with immediate incorporation. That gives us this opportunity to reduce our rates, but also provide some nitrogen through conserving ammonia to the corn crop. So our objectives were to evaluate the impact of a change from nitrogen-based without incorporation to phosphorus-based with immediate incorporation of manure and compost on corn grain yield, soil test nitrodynamics, and greenhouse gas emissions. In this case, nitrous oxide is our main target. So we initiated a study in Musgrave Research Farm at Cornell University in Aurora, New York. You can see the soil baseline levels in 2001. From 2001 to 2005, the field was under silage corn production, rotated to alfalfa from 2006 to 2010, and rotated back to corn and grown for grain from 2011 to 2015. What I'm going to present are 2014 and 2015 data from this long-term rotation. We had 6 fertility treatments, 2 rates of composted dairy solids. They were in reality separated dairy solids at rates of 34 and 90 megagram per hectare, or 15 and 40 tons per acre. We have 2 rates of liquid dairy manure, 93 and 160 kiloliter per hectare, or 10 and 17,000 gallons per acre. And we had 2 inorganic nitrogen rates that were side-dressed, 0 and 112 kilogram per hectare. This comes from the first 5 years of the study as published in this paper, and the 112 kilogram per hectare was our optimum nitrogen rate. Based on our fertility results, we small-banded starter fertilizer of 112 kilogram per hectare, 10-20-20 to our organic plots, and it was 280 kilogram per hectare, 10-20-20 to the inorganic plots. We collected data on corn grain yield, N concentration, soil fertility testing, and we had soil moisture and temperature at each time we measured greenhouse gas emissions. We followed GraceNet protocol to measuring our fluxes. We used a static vented chambers. We had 1 chamber per plot. We sampled more frequently when we applied manure fertilizer or when we had rainfall events. We had 4 samples per time, time 0, 15, 30, and 45, and we used a linear regression to calculate the fluxes. So let's go to the results, and let's start with corn yield in 2014. To make it easier for you to follow, the blue lines represent our compost plots. The green lights represents our manure, and then the red is the optimum nitrogen rate. The darker colors are N-based managements. What we saw in the previous years, and also in the previous years of from 2011 to 2013, we saw some yield reduction with a shift from N-base to P-base management. This was not the case here. As you can see, a shift from N-base to P-base did not significantly result in yield reduction. Although a shift from N-base to P-base management of compost reduced the yield by 3%, and in manure it was 5%. So we'll get back to this in future slides. This is a trend of nitrous oxide emission in 2014 over time, and I divided it into five sections: the baseline, post-manure, major rainfall event, post-siders, and end of season. And the next slide, let's look at the treatment differences within each period. As you can see, there were no differences at the baseline and end of season between the treatments. At post-site, post-manure, we saw no differences between a shift from N-base to P-base management, although the N-base management has higher emissions than the fertilizers. We saw greater nitrous oxide fluxes in manure than compost and fertilizer plus at the major rainfall event. And at our post-site period, we saw huge emissions with the fertilizer, and the emissions were low for the organic plots. We looked at the relationship between soil nitrate and nitrous oxide emission. We saw a linear relationship, and per 1 milligram of nitrate nitrogen, we saw 34 grams of nitrous oxide per hectare. Remember that number in mind, and we'll get back to that also. We saw a somewhat exponential relationship between volumetric water content and nitrous oxide emissions. And we saw very low emissions when the volumetric water content were below 27%. Or yield and nitrous oxide emissions were also linearly related. We saw 330 gram nitrous oxide per megagram of yield. So if you remember, I mentioned that a shift from N-base to B-base manure and compost resulted some yield losses. So in 2015, we divided our organic plots into two sections to look at that end limitation by our P-base management. We applied 160 kilograms of N per hectare to half of it, and we leave the rest as zero. So let's look at the yield data in 2015. We saw some interesting results there. We saw that compost and P-based manure management had some N limitations. We also had some pest damage, so the yields are very low because of that as well. Interestingly, when we add that 160 kilograms of N per hectare on our compost and N-based manure, we got yields beyond what we could have achieved with our optimum fertilizer rates. So the rates there were not beyond that, and we got higher yields, and that reflects a better soil health of these treatments. This is a trend of nitrous oxide emission in 2015. I divided it into four sections: baseline, post-manure, post-siders, and end of season. And let's look at the treatment differences within that period. Once again, we didn't see any differences in baseline and end of season periods. We saw higher emission with the manure than compost and fertilizer, but we didn't see any differences with the shift from N-base to B-base compost and manure management. And again, we saw huge emissions with the organic optimum end rate fertilizer at the post-siderising period. Again, let's look at the nitrogen relationship with the nitrous oxide emission. We saw again a linear relationship there, but the number is much higher. So it's 47 grams per hectare per 1 milligram of nitrogen. And that reflects our lower yield and very wet June month that we had, the wettest in the history of Ithaca. The yield and emissions were also linearly related when I dropped that P-based manure out of the equation. Yield and emissions, basically, per megagram of yield, we had 174 gram nitrous oxide per hectare. So in conclusion, the phosphorus based management leads to deficiencies in N supply, where nitrogen was limited, yields and emissions were linearly related. You want to add nitrogen to avoid yield losses in your P-based management that will increase nitrous oxide emissions. It is important to get the rate right so you don't get excess nitrous oxide emission and also you don't have economic yield losses. And soil nitrate and water content are drivers of nitrous oxide emissions. With that, I would like to thank you and entertain some questions. Get the rate right. What I'm seeing, and we didn't have enhanced efficiency fertilizer in our system, but what we saw is that you don't want to lose yield, so you have to put N enough to have the optimum nitrogen, so have the optimum yield. So, and nitrous oxide is, some losses are biologically unavoidable. So I would say put N enough to get the yield, and if you have emissions, and I don't know, we should check that economically to see if having enhanced efficiency fertilizer is economically viable enough for that or not. Sure. So the question is that when did we sample soil test, and if that we measured crop uptake? Yes, we did. The soil samples were at baseline, at planting, at side dressing, and end of season.
What depth?
0 to basically 8 inches. At the side dressing, we had 8 inches and 12 inches. And I have N uptake, I have N balances, and all will be in the paper. Please. Yeah, I've used NDK series to predict the N availability of the compost and manure based on a yield potential. It wasn't, and it's the paper that I had that we saw N limitation. It's in Agronomy Journal, and we saw that these DK series are not really predicting N availability in our systems, at least for New York.